We are in Acts chapter 15, so if you'd like to turn there with me, Acts chapter 15. And this is a message and a passage about a church fight. It may surprise you to hear that churches fight. So this is really how things should. I'll just use these chairs just kind of as a illustration. Like this is kind of how things should be, right? In your church, in your family, this is how things should be. We should be together. But what you know is that that's not always how things go. Sometimes we have different convictions. Sometimes we have different opinions. Sometimes we have different values. And what happens is we end up being divided by that. And when we get divided by that, it gets pretty hard to work together, doesn't it? It gets pretty hard to cooperate. It gets pretty hard to accomplish God's mission when we're going different ways, looking different directions, when we're mad at each other. Well, that's what had happened to this first century church. It had gotten divided. And this is the resolution for that. So if you're taking notes and you're kind of going to follow along on the, I'm going to pull this past the speaker so it doesn't block the noise. I'm going to push it back a little bit. Anyone want to take a shot at what this is a picture of? A fight, that's right. So we're about to read about a church fight. So here we go. This is the problem that the church has to solve. We're in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers. Do you think those are biological brothers? What do you think? I'm looking at this section over here. Do you think we're talking about biological brothers? No, we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, people that go to church together that are saved, and so they're in Christ together. Okay, so teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So they're saying, unless you keep the rules, just like we keep the rules, you cannot be saved. Verse 2, and after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, is dissension a peaceful word? No. No, dissension is a fighting word. And if there was no dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So this is such a big fight, they can't even solve it in Antioch. This is such a big fight, such an important fight, they have to go to Jerusalem to get a resolution. This is a big fight. So if you're taking notes, you got to draw a picture of a big fight. Verse 3, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. They're heading south, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and it brought great joy to all the brothers. So they're so glad other people are becoming Christians. The mission is going forward. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. And some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. So what are they saying? They're saying that, you know what? Those people that don't keep the rules like us, they're not even saved. And they can't be saved until they keep the rules like us. And you know what? That caused a big fight, and that caused a lot of division in the church, because they're saying, you're not even saved because you don't keep the rules like we keep the rules. Okay, so back then, if there was big fights because people were saying, you can't be saved because you don't keep the rules like us, what do you think would cause big fights today? Masks. I wasn't going to go there, but you did. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Right. So the way I was going to phrase that was going to be how we should respond to COVID. Like, that would be something that we can fight about. We are capable of fighting about that. I'm not saying we should fight about that. Last week I said, let's not fight about that. But we could. That could cause great, what were the words in verse 2? Great dissension and debate. That could cause a big fight. What else could cause a big fight? Politics. Hey, you might not have noticed this. You probably haven't seen any advertising yet, but there's an election coming up. And that's something we could fight about. The racial tensions going on and how to respond to them and what's the best way to resolve racial tension. That could also cause a big fight. Okay, so the church has this big fight on their hands and they have to decide what to do about it. Now, this is pretty relevant because if you've been in churches long enough, you know there's potential for big fights. And you know in your family, there's potential for fights. So what should you do about it? Here we are in verse 6. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. Like, whoa, this is really hard. We better call a meeting. And some of them probably tuned in on Zoom, right? And after there had been much debate, oh, there it is again. Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel. Boy, if you have your Bible open and you're circling stuff, you might circle gospel. And if you're a note taker, you might start figuring out how you're going to draw gospel. That by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. Hey, what is Paul talking about here? Peter. What is Peter talking about here? We went through this passage a couple weeks ago. Anybody have a guess? When he went to see Cornelius, exactly. And then there was like the Gentile Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit and they all started speaking in tongues. And he's saying God showed that he accepted them without them keeping the rules first. Okay, so that's what he's going to say next in verse 9. And he made no distinction between us that were born with the rules, that keep the rules, and them that were not born with the rules, having cleansed their hearts by faith. So how did their hearts get cleansed? Their hearts got cleansed by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? They're saying, we haven't been able to be saved by keeping the rules for generations, and they're not going to be able to keep the rules in order so well that they get saved. So why are you even trying that? But we believe, listen, this is it, verse 11, but we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. So we're in there, they're having a big fight about whether or not people can be saved and who's saved and what gives them unity. What do they agree on? Well, what they agree on is the gospel. What they agree on is that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose, that faith in Jesus is what cleanses you. What they agree on is that you are saved by grace. And listen, this is the important part. Well, I mean, that's the important part. But here's the part that had to be clarified. And no supplements are necessary. I told the artists, I want a cross and I want a pill bottle. And the artist must have decided, I don't know if I can make it clear enough that it's a pill bottle, so they labeled it pills. Pills are good. What I wanted was to say supplement. I would have painted it green if I had time, like supplements. And what they're saying is, it's not the cross plus rules. Only the cross is what saves you. It's not the cross plus good works. It's not the cross plus anything. It's only grace that saves you. See, that's what the fight had been about. They're saying they're not even saved. They don't keep the rules like us. They don't have the same values as us. They're different than us. And they're saying, wait, stop. What's important is the gospel, not that other stuff. You're only saved by grace. And so what I'm going to do is erase this work of art, because it's only by grace that we're saved. No supplements are necessary. In fact, supplements only dilute and pollute the gospel. The good news is that means everybody can be saved. The good news is that means it's only by grace that you're saved. So no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you can be saved by grace. And this is what they agreed on, and this is what brought them back together. What brought them back together is the gospel. And what you and I have to remember is that the gospel is the center. Our response to COVID is not the center. Who we're going to vote for in November is not the center. How we think racial tension can be resolved is not the center. Those are all important things, but they're not the center. The center that unites us is the gospel. Okay? So if you're taking notes, it would be when there's a problem, when you're tempted to have a big fight, what you have to remember is the gospel. That the gospel is what is the center. The gospel is what unites us. The gospel is what brings us together, because the gospel says we all basically have the same problem. We're all sinners, and we all need the same solution, which is grace. So I'm not better than you, and you're not better than me, because I'm a sinner and you're a sinner, and we're saved by grace. And because we're saved by grace, we are in Christ together, so we may as well act like that's true and get along. Amen. Thank you. Since we're outside, you can preach along with me. I'm so glad. All right. Now, who has an idea of what that next? Don't say it. Don't say it. You just quietly whisper to the person next to you if you're right. We don't want them to know if you're right or you're wrong. But the next picture over here is the next part of our outline, the green one. All right, so let's keep reading here in verse 12. So after Peter gets up and says, guys, wait. Remember that we're saved by grace. Remember what the center is. Verse 12, and all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul, and they related the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they finished speaking, James replied, okay, so you heard from Peter, then you heard from Barnabas and Paul, now you're hearing from James. All the bigwigs got to stand up and talk. And they do, and they all agree that the gospel is the center, and they are going to agree on a way forward. That has to do with that green pitcher over there. And after they finished speaking, James replied, brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as is written. After this, I will return. I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, and the remnant of mankind may see the Lord. And then he says, this is what's happening with the church, that Israel is being rebuilt, and that now all the Gentiles who are called by my name. Okay, so here are the Gentiles. They're coming into the church, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. So he's saying it's all coming true. The Gentiles are coming into Israel. Verse 19. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those Gentiles who turn to God. So they repent and they turn to God. But we should write to them. Any ideas what that green picture is? Don't say it out loud. We don't want everyone to know. But we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols. Now, for those of you who already know what the green picture is, and who are not drawing the outline with me, see if you could explain why this list. This is something I've wondered for years. As long as I've been reading the Bible thoughtfully, I've been wondering, Why these things? And you know what? I think I know, but I'm still not 100% sure. This is a hard list. Okay, so we're in verse 20. That you should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from the ancient generations, Moses has in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Okay, so four things. Four things. Things that have been polluted by idols. Stay away from that. The other one that I'm not going to say, I read it just a second ago. Those of you that are not drawing pictures, you know what it is. You're hoping I don't say it again because you don't want your kids to hear it. Things that are strangled and from blood. What in the world do those things have to do with each other? How are they anything alike? Let's keep reading. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men from among them to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And they sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men from the brothers with the following letter. Okay, so we're back to the letter. And the letter says, brothers, both the apostles and the elders and the brothers who are Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. That's where we were last week. If you remember the map, you remember all those places. Since we have heard some persons have gone from among us, troubled you with words unsettling your minds. That's code words for a big fight. Although we gave them no instructions, it seemed good to us, having come to one accord, now we have unity from the gospel, to choose men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We therefore send Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. Okay, so why would they send a letter and two witnesses, Judas and Silas, along with Paul and Barnabas? Credibility is exactly right, because forgery then was as big a thing or bigger a thing than forgery now. And so, of course, Paul and Barnabas are going to say this because they kind of got what they wanted. They'd been saying the gospel is only by grace all along. So they have to send Judas and Silas along with a letter so that there's personal witnesses along with the Jerusalem letter so they can vouch for the reliability of the letter. Verse 28, and so it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. So they know there's a burden in this, but not a giant burden. Verse 29, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols. Here's our list again. That you abstain from what is sacrificed to idols, from blood, from what has been strangled, and from the other thing. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell. Okay, so here's where we've been. We've said that there was a big fight, and that what they had to do to solve the big fight, because the big fight was over who's saved. And these people are saying these people aren't even saved, so we can't fellowship with them. Then we said, nope, what they had to remember is that the gospel is only by grace, that we're only saved by grace and nothing else. So once they get that clear, now they send a letter with these four restrictions. The letter that says to stay away from those four things. Now, there's two points to remember about those four restrictions. The first one, and this is what I'm less sure of, but the first one is that sounds an awful lot, those four things, stuff sacrificed to idols, stuff that's been strangled, blood, and the fourth one, that sounds a lot like what would happen in pagan temples. You'd start with a sacrifice to an idol that was strangled, and then you drink its blood, and then you do ritual, the last one. It sounds a lot like what would happen in the pagan temples. And so it sounds like The leaders in the church are saying, you will do well, it will bless you to stay away from the pagan temples. The pagan temples are not helping you. That's how I understand the continuity of that list. The thing that I'm more sure of is that it would be awfully hard for a Jewish Christian who's eating kosher to sit down at a love feast with someone who came from the pagan temple and brings a pig that's been strangled and sets it on the table of them and says, hey, let's have a potluck. That would be really, really hard. So what Paul is saying and what the church is saying in their letter is, don't unnecessarily offend people. Prioritize the church family. Prioritize the church family by not unnecessarily offending. So where they start with is grace. We're only saved by grace. No supplements necessary. Once they got that clarified, then they write the letter that says, please don't unnecessarily offend people. Keep the church family and the church fellowship prioritized. How would we unnecessarily offend people today? Unnecessarily offend people. I think, like, what comes to my mind first is social media. You know social media accounts? It's something that you do. You don't need to unnecessarily offend people, even on social media. I mean, there are hard conversations that have to take place, and sometimes people get offended. But what the church is saying is keep the gospel clear and keep the gospel center. And then make sure you prioritize your church family. Make sure you prioritize relationships in your church family. Okay? Then finally, this last drawing. Can anyone tell what that's a drawing of, the blue one way over there? Can anybody over here take a guess at what that table over there, or what that drawing is of over there? It's a surfing board that a lot of people aren't. No, I. Yeah. Picnic blanket. Thank you. Yeah. So we're about to find out what that special table is. I mean, drawing is. Ugh. Here we go. Verse 30. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. Remember the letter. The letter's there in green. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, remember those are the guys sent down to verify the truthfulness of the letter, who were the prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they spent some time, I had that underlined in red in my Bible, they spent some time with them. They were sent off in peace by the brothers who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. See, what's important is that these people had been told, we don't even think you're saved. They had been divided, and they're saying, those people don't keep the rules like us, so they're not even saved. So what the church does is they send two of their own up there to tell them that indeed we are united around the gospel, and you are saved, and I'll tell you what, we accept you. And so that fourth one is, or the third point, I mean, is that it's gospel acceptance. So first, we remember the gospel. Second, we prioritize church family by not unnecessarily offending people. And then third, we show gospel acceptance. And when we show gospel acceptance, see what happens in verse 31? They are encouraged. And then verse 32, they are encouraged and strengthened. Nothing is as encouraging as accepting people. So when people are going through a really, really hard time, what you want to do is eat with them, because nothing says, I accept you, and you're one of us, quite like eating with them. And so this is what Barnabas and Paul do, is they go up there, and they spend time with them, and they eat with them. So if you had homework this week, if I could assign homework, I'd ask you to read this passage a couple times, Acts 15, and remember that the gospel is the center. I'd want you to remember that the gospel is the center. And in remembering that the gospel is the center, I'd want you to remember everything that's not the center. And remember that the stuff, most of the stuff you're mad about is not the center. I'd want you to read this a couple times, remembering what the center is. I'd want you to ask before you post on social media or before you have a conversation where you're going to tick somebody off, I'd want you to ask if this offense is necessary. Is this necessary to offend them over this? Is this a necessary offense? And third, here's what I hope most happens out of this. Other than someone receiving the gospel for the first time, that's what I want the most. Second most is what I'd love to have happen here is for us to encourage each other by eating together, to show gospel acceptance of each other by spending time with each other and by eating with each other. Now, I know that this is not a time to organize small groups in homes. I know that, like, it would be, you'd feel too exposed because of COVID and all that stuff. But there's probably people that you fellowship with. There's probably people that you are in contact with, because no one, actually very few of us, can stay socially distant forever. So the people that you're with, be with them, share a meal with them, and encourage each other in the gospel. I think we want to come out of this time with greater gospel courage, more united as a church, because we keep the gospel in the center. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for how you love us, and how you came and you died for us, how you forgive our sins, how you're raised to newness of life on the third day to give us eternal life. Lord, I pray that you pull us close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.